If you are still wavering on which Thanksgiving pie to offer today and you want to make the perfect pie, help is at hand. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, November 26th. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. So we will find out how to make the perfect pie today, and we will wonder what pie or pies you are making or looking forward to eating. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guest. Very happy to have with us from Vancouver on the West Coast, so she's joining us very, very early. Kate Lebo, award-winning baker and writer, author of Pie School, Lessons in Fruit, Flour, and Butter, and A Commonplace Book of Pie. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us so early in the morning. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Talking to you from my parents' kitchen.
Oh, is that right? Oh, that's great.
Absolutely.
So are you, do you hold these kind of baker's hours usually?
You know, just on Thanksgiving. These are emergency hours. Right.
Right. You gotta get started. You know, in the past, we have had people calling during this 6 o'clock hour and talking about the, you know, that they have their pies in the oven and they're getting a start at this time in the morning.
I believe it. All you really need is some coffee, right?
Right.
And that's determination.
Now, you have been baking pies for a long time now. How did you become a master pie baker?
You know, that just comes through practice. Pie is a really accessible art. And a really special one, I think, because it's a folk art. It's one that's best learned from someone else, which means you pass it down. And I just got good at it by doing it way more than most other people do it, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. And it is also, you call it, it's a social dessert. It's different than a cupcake.
Yeah. I mean, you can, there's 8 slices to a normal size pie, and that's a size where you could eat that all yourself, which will probably be a little sad when you're all done. It's better to share it.
So what, in your mind, makes for a perfect pie?
You know, I think that the perfect pie is one that has a, you know, delicious flaky crust that you made yourself, which is, as easy as they say it is, once somebody shows you how to do it, and then has a filling that uses, you know, really, most often uses really fresh fruit, or uses a filling that kind of calls to mind whatever feeling you really want to have that day. You know, today's Thanksgiving, so there's going to be a ton of traditional fillings going on, because this is a point that we return to every year for many of us to revisit family and revisit where we come from.
Yeah. Well, what comes to mind for traditional fillings for Thanksgiving for you?
Oh, well, you know, this year I'm going to make a straight-up apple pie as requested by my grandparents. They don't want anything special about it. No shots of whiskey, no fancy spices. They just want to taste those apples. So I'm like, all right, you guys can have that. And then we're also going to make one of my favorites, pumpkin chiffon pie, which is a twist on the usual traditional pumpkin that I'm making, just because I got kind of sick of pumpkin myself, though. I know, you know, people love their pumpkin pie. Pumpkin chiffon is this really creamy, light, kind of retro way to serve it. It just lightens up the pumpkin and sweetens it up.
Oh, that does sound good. I have to admit, I think people, you know, I don't know. I think people either love pumpkin pie or they don't really like it at all. and I have it on Thanksgiving, but it's not my favorite pie in the world. That chiffon sounds good. What makes it a chiffon?
So chiffon is Americanese for Bavarian cream. So it's like pastry cream, but it's airy because you've whipped egg whites into it, basically a meringue into it. And you've also added a bit of unflavored gelatin. That's the retro part. And that's what makes it real firm. So it'll stand up on the plate really beautifully for you.
Yeah, we did post. Thank you very much, by the way. You did supply that recipe for us. And we have posted it on our website. Anything to bear in mind with this recipe?
You know, something to keep in mind is going to be, it's not tricky, but you do need to pay attention to how the gelatin is firming up. So if it gets too firm, if it actually starts to wiggle like Jell-O, you've gone too far. As it's chilling, as the gelatin is firming up, just check on the filling in the fridge every 5 minutes or so and give it a stir. And once you get to this kind of soft place where the filling is dolloping on top, when you scoop some out and scoop it right back on to the top of the filling, that's when you mix in the meringue.
Okay.
But if you go too far, if it gets too firm, just heat that filling right back up and start over. It's kind of a foolproof pie that way, which can be very helpful on a day like this.
And this pumpkin chiffon pie has a, it's a gluten-free pie.
It is. That is a happy accident, actually. And it's gluten-free because the filling itself, I mean, it's not dairy-free, but the filling itself has no gluten whatsoever in it. And I like to make it with an almond flour crust, which I think is just a delicious way to make a tart crust. So you get almond flour or almond meal. I know Trader Joe's carries it. Bob's Red Mill is a manufacturer of it. And you mix that with an egg and some butter, and you pat it in the pan just like you would a cookie crust. So it's real not fussy, too, if you're afraid of pastry.
And so, you know, I'm not sure if I've had a gluten-free crust. Do you like it?
Oh, it's delicious. Absolutely delicious. That's why I call it a happy accident. Though I must say that gluten-free bakers are getting very, very good at making delicious treats. This one just happens to be gluten-free. I make it for fun all the time because it's delicious.
Yeah. You do also make an all-butter pie crust. You say that the crust you lean on like an old friend is the all-butter pie crust. What makes this an old friend?
Oh, well, one of them is the ingredient list is so simple. It's 2.5 cups of all-purpose flour. It's 1 cup, which is 2 sticks, cold unsalted butter, 1 tablespoon sugar, 1 teaspoon salt, and enough ice water to get it all to come together. So it's in my head. You know, whenever I want to make pie, I can just do it. But what I also love about it is that it's flaky, it's flavorful. That's what butter does for us. But it's also really easy to roll out. So when I teach pie classes at my pie school, I use this recipe because it's just the most frustration-free to work with.
Yeah, and do you have to, can this be stored or not?
Absolutely, yeah. So that's one of the other beauties of making pie. You can do it in stages. So you could make this, you could have made this pie crust 2 days ago, had it in your fridge nicely wrapped in plastic wrap, and then get up this morning at 6 a.m. or 4 a.m., depending on where you are, and take it out of the fridge and roll it out, and it would just be beautiful.
All right, so flour, sugar, salt, and butter, just 4 ingredients. I didn't know no vodka in that pie crust.
Well, not for me, only because I don't want to have to go to the liquor store every time I make a pie. But vodka is a great trick because gluten, which is the thing that develops when you add water to flour and then, you know, start messing with it with your hands, it doesn't develop as quickly with vodka as it does with water, so it can make a flakier crust. My rule is, though, just touch your pie crust only as much as it needs to be touched, and you don't have to fuss with vodka. You can just use water. You're good to go.
Yeah. We are talking with Kate Lebo, an award-winning baker and writer, author of Pie School, Lessons in Fruit, Flour, and Butter, and a commonplace book of pie. And we're going to pie school right now. We're welcoming your questions about making the perfect pie. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We welcome your questions. We welcome your own secret tips. Have you developed a secret for a perfect pie? Let us know. Well, Chris in Wisconsin Dells called in to say that Bailey's Irish Cream makes pumpkin pie extraordinary. Well, that sounds like, why not, huh?
Absolutely. That's a great tip. I am curious, like, what else are people eating besides pumpkin?
Yeah, really. Well, she says mincemeat pie, which a lot of people don't like, is also excellent with a scoop of ice cream, particularly Ben and Jerry's rum raisin. So she, way to go, Chris. Lots of interesting ideas. Yeah, mincemeat pie. I saw someone posting on Facebook this morning saying, am I the only person left who likes mincemeat pie? Do you like mincemeat pie?
It's an old-fashioned delicacy. It's still real popular in Britain, but here we haven't quite wrapped our brains around sweet and savory in a pie for dessert, because mincemeat often has beef in it, plus preserved fruits and sugar and lots of spices.
Oh, my goodness.
If you find a good one of those, eat it. Those are...
I didn't know. I mean, I remember the raisins and the currants in it, but I didn't realize it also had meat in it.
It often does, but there's a lot. I've run into so many different recipes for this. I've run into a recipe that calls for green tomatoes and beef, so it's a straight-up savory.
Interesting. Let me hold you there, Kate, because we have news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will continue talking about pies. Our guest is offering us some lessons in making the perfect pie. This is the Ideas Network. So who loves pies? And who's looking forward to eating pies today on Thanksgiving? Who's up right now making pies? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We are getting some lessons in making the perfect pie from Master Pie Baker Kate Lebo. And we are welcoming your questions for her. We're welcoming any tips or secrets you might have. And we also would like to know, what are you having today? Is anybody having something other than pumpkin pie? So who's got a new traditional Thanksgiving pie that they'd like to share? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And what I'd like to know, what are some of the biggest challenges you have faced when it comes to baking pies? And why should I bake my own pie rather than just pick one up at the bakery? There's a lot of really great pie bakers around here, and I could have somebody else make it. Why should I make it myself? Do you have any reason? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Kate Lebo, award-winning baker, writer, author of Pie School, Lessons in Fruit, Flour, and Butter, and a commonplace book of pie. She did share with us her recipe for gluten-free pumpkin chiffon pie with almond flour crust, and we have posted that on our website and the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And you did say, Kate, that you're going to offer apple pie. That's you like apple pie on Thanksgiving.
Oh, absolutely, with the full gluten crust, right?
Yes. And what is your secret to the perfect apple pie?
You know, I think that it really starts with pie apples, which are often the tart, firm kind that you'd want to eat with cheese, not necessarily right out of hand in a lunchbox. So Macintosh, Granny Smith, if you can get your hands on some heirlooms, do that. Those pies bake up well, and they make a better tasting apple pie.
Yeah, and have more than one kind of apple, because as you said in a video I saw, it's like cheese. It tastes better if you have more than one.
Yep. Exactly. My other secret is to just add a perfectly ripe pear to the mix.
Why?
Adds a little complexity to the flavor, just a little bit of extra sweetness, which is great because you're going to be using tart apples.
Ah, yeah, and I love the taste of pear, too. It's a real mild, it's a different taste, but very good. So any advice for people who want to experiment with different combinations of flavors? Any basic parameters to stick to?
Most pie plates can hold about 5 cups of filling, maybe 6 cups of filling. So just kind of keep that in mind in terms of all the different kinds of fruits you might use. You could use, 1 cup of 6 different kinds of fruits. You could start with, say, 5 cups of apple, throw in 1 cup of cranberry, see how that goes. Just to make sure that you've got enough sugar to sweeten it but not overpower your delicious fruit filling. spice to frame the flavors, a pinch of salt. That's one of my big secrets. Salt makes everything taste better. That includes your filling.
Mm-hmm.
And just thicken it up with flour and butter. It's so simple to do it that way.
All right, we have some callers, so let's go to Linda in Green Bay. Hello, Linda.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning and happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Well, I'm calling in because you were asking for opinions, and I decided this year to make some pumpkin scones with apple chunks in there just to change it up and offer something different on the buffet table. But I also, I have to bake for the two families, and I burnt the apple pie for my sister's house. And now the turkey is in the oven right now. So I'm at the store. I'm going to get more pumpkins, and I'm thinking of making another apple crisp.
Nice.
So
you're at the store right now, Linda?
Yeah.
That is so good. Thank you for sharing. So you're going to just toss that apple pie, or do you think it's salvageable?
No, the kids, my adult kids were eating that, but I didn't want to serve that to the rest of the guests.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Yeah. So how long, Kate, does that apple pie need to stay in the oven?
Most fruit pies take about 55 to 65 minutes to bake, and everybody's oven can be different, so you do have to just keep an eye on it to make sure it doesn't get too dark. You can also tent your pie if it starts to get too dark in tin foil, and that will prevent it from burning.
Oh.
Right. And I also did that. You just suggested to do apple and maybe throw in some cranberries.
Ooh, yeah.
That is the apple crisp that I made, and it's really good.
Nice.
It sounds great. And so what is the crisp? Maybe Kate that's not a crust. That's like a topping with
crumble
sugar.
Top. Yeah, and that's a real good shortcut when you're like, I don't want to make, pastry crust again. Let's get this apple crisp in the oven.
Yeah. What do you think of pumpkin scones with chunks of apple in them?
I mean, sounds delicious. Is your family going to let you get away with no pumpkin pie?
No. The pumpkin pie is good. The pumpkin pie is good. It was the apple pie. I don't know if they'll let me get away with it, but that's where the apple crisp is going to go.
Oh, so you are, though, also having a pumpkin pie, Linda?
Correct.
Oh, so see, you have to have the pumpkin pie, apparently, Kate.
Well, and again, what she's doing is so smart, where you have the traditional and you just add something new to it, try to, get the family to go for something new, but not shock their system too much.
Yeah. Linda, thank you, and I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. You're really, that's above and beyond at the store at 6:30 in the morning.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I like the idea of on Thanksgiving morning having a pumpkin apple scone as, as sort of a breakfast. It would be nice during the meal itself, but just having that in the morning would be nice. Dean in Fond du Lac is with us. Hello, Dean.
Hello. Yeah, this year I'm making a standard apple and then a apple cranberry for it. Instead of, I take out a couple of the apples and add just a couple of whole cranberries when I make it.
So how much cranberry do you put in there?
About a couple.
Okay.
And then the crust I use is a recipe that I inherited from my mother, so it's probably about a 30-40-year-old crust, but it uses an egg yolk and a teaspoon of vinegar in the crust.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I never have ever had a soggy crust on the bottom. It browns nicely all the way around.
All right, thank you for sharing that. I've never heard of that. Egg and vinegar in the pie crust. That doesn't sound very tasty, but
oh, it's super tasty.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Uh-huh. The vinegar makes it more flaky, and the egg makes it more tender, and it rolls out a little bit easier.
Yeah.
Those are two great tricks.
Yeah, and there's somebody who's doing the cranberry trick with the apple. Cranberries are big in Wisconsin, Kate. I don't know if you know that. We are we produce more cranberries than any other state in the nation. So.
I did know that, because I know that Washington State, my home state, is on your heels with cranberry production.
Yeah, and we love our cranberries. In fact, I'm doing something different with cranberries today. It's not a pie, but I this morning at 3 o'clock in the morning when I get up earlier than that, but before coming to work, I chopped up some cranberries and I threw a little sugar on them because that's what it said. Marinate them in sugar for a little while. They're so tart. And then I'm going to put it, of all things, on a salad. It's
delicious.
So it will be good. We have Bill in Madison who emails, our tradition is a chocolate bourbon pecan pie. Wow.
Derby pie.
Oh, my gosh. Does that sound so good? Derby pie, you call that?
Yep, that's another name for it.
Does that ever sound tasty? And then mile high apple. I'm not sure why it's a mile high, but maybe it's a very your pies are very high. Is that what he means?
Yeah,
do you think?
Just lots of apples. The cool thing about apples, they've got a lot of natural pectin, and they've got that sturdy, sliceable structure. So you can pile them super high on your plate. If you did that with other fruit, half the mile would end up on the bottom of your oven.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because that looks beautiful too. It just looks so tasty. And he says my wife went to bed 2 hours ago after making them. Oh my gosh, she was up all night.
Dedication.
The tricky part is maxing out the bourbon without having to use a straw to eat it. I happily get to clean up.
So he's drinking his apple pie.
Yeah, well, so maxing out the bourbon without having... So you don't want to put too much bourbon in that bourbon pecan pie?
Right, because the more liquid that you put into your pie, the more liquidy the filling will be. So you got to kind of watch your ratios.
Mm-hmm. All right, so what is your Thanksgiving pie tradition? We've heard some traditional ones and some new twists so far. What are you making or what are you looking forward to eating? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Sandy in Madison is with us. Happy Thanksgiving, Sandy.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Kate.
Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Kate.
And you know each other.
We do.
So my best friend today, whose name is Andrea, is making Kate's galette from her high school book. Uh-huh. And she's doing a twist on it with pears, doing blackberry and pear, and I think another berry.
That's
so we'll see how that is. And my mom is here, who has made an apple pie. And so Kate has told me one time that she believes that every family has somebody who's the pie baker.
Uh-huh.
And in my world, the pie bakers, when I'm not able to be near Kate, are my best friend Andrea and my mom, who uses an old crust from handed down from our family from my great grandmother Wilson.
Oh, do you know what kind of fat she uses in that crust?
You know, she used to use it. Really, I think used to call for lard.
Uh huh.
Right. So that's really the right kind of fat.
That's always the right kind.
Yeah. So she uses Crisco though, and I know Crisco has changed their recipe, but it still turns out.
Yeah, super flaky. Oh.
That sounds great. That galette sounds really good, too.
Yeah, the other thing she did is we're going to see if we can train my daughter to become a pie baker. She brought a crust, and it's in a ball in the fridge, and Natalie is going to try making a chocolate silk pie because she loves that.
Oh, delicious. So we're going to have about 5 pie bakers in the family by the time we're done.
Oh, yeah, hopefully. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Happy Thanksgiving to both of you, and thanks for getting up so early, Kate.
Absolutely. Great to hear your voice, Sandy. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving. Thanks very much. So that sounds really good. Tell us a little bit about this galette, if you can.
So a galette is a French style of pie. You just take, it's great. You make the normal amount of pie dough. You actually only use half of it. Roll it all out, that half. Put that in a pie plate, put your filling in that dough, and then you don't trim the edges of the dough. You just kind of fold them over into this messy, pleated, beautiful, rustic dessert with a little window of fruit in the middle.
Mm-hmm. You know, in your earlier book, A Commonplace Book of Pie, you talk about pie choice and personality.
Mm-hmm.
So how about pumpkin pie? What does that say about your personality if you like pumpkin pie?
You know, I had read when I was considering that poem, I had read a survey that was saying that if you liked pumpkin pie, then you liked tradition, and maybe you were a little bit boring. And I took offense at the being called boring for liking pumpkin pie, and ended up imagining this person that likes pumpkin pie and uses a kind of veneer of normalcy to surprise everyone.
Mm-hmm. What about the apple pie?
Apple pie is a real traditional European/American treat. And for that, that book imagines a history of apple pie where the apple cider is cleaner than any water from any well.
Oh, you know, I did pick up, this is wasteful, I know, and I should try to make my own pies, but it's hard. I am bringing pies to my sister's house. She is hosting the Thanksgiving. And they're half pies. I'm bringing a half a pumpkin, a half an apple, it's a Dutch apple, half a cherry, and half pecan. Yeah, so that's what it is. It's so I have two full pies, but there are four different kinds.
Oh my god! What's happening with the other halves? Where are they going?
I don't know. I guess that somebody else is buying those. But what about pecan pie? That's a pretty traditional pie. That used to be my favorite. I don't know if it is anymore.
Yeah, you know, and that's one that we came to a lot of us on the side of the Karo syrup bottle.
Oh yeah,
it's been revamped with more natural sugars. You can make it with just brown sugar. You can make it with honey. You can make it with maple syrup. You can add some whiskey to it, as we heard, and it's delicious. And if you need a more affordable route with the pecan pie, I know pecans have gotten really expensive.
Oh, yeah.
You could substitute walnuts.
Oh,
that's
that would be
delicious.
Good. Yeah, that would be good. Mm-hmm. Grant emails. He says, this time of year, I bake an eggnog pie. Oh, my gosh. Using Sassy Cow's eggnog. Sassy Cow's a local dairy.
Oh, cool.
And a very, you know, I don't know if you could call it a craft dairy. But it's also, he says, maple syrup pie is very good. And again, these are, I'm looking at this as like local ingredients, sort of like the you know, the buy local movement or the local food movement in his pies.
Yeah, and we're also hearing our ingredients that are available right now, which is, you know, we're at the very end of fall. Winter is going to begin soon. So we've got these shelf-stable ingredients like maple syrup or eggnog, which is so seasonal, cranberries, which are, you know, super fresh right now.
Yeah, that's and that does sound good. He says both of those pies use an all butter crust, and then he says finally, parsnip pie is outstanding. That's a savory pie, but sweet too, because parsnips when you roast them are really, I love those.
Oh, that's a great idea. I wonder if he purees those parsnips or how he turns them into pie.
Hey Grant, share that parsnip pie or at least the basics of your recipe for parsnip pie. Do you puree it, or what do you do? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking about making the perfect pie with Kate Lebo, who is an award-winning baker and writer, author of Pie School, Lessons in Fruit, Flour, and Butter, and A Commonplace Book of Pie. Our next caller is Steve in Rice Lake. Hello, Steve.
Yeah, hi. Happy Thanksgiving. Hey, I was wondering if your guest possibly has ever watched the John Wayne movie, The Cowboys. In that movie, John Wayne is going on a cattle drive with a bunch of kids, and he has to hire a camp cook, and a black gentleman rolls up in his wagon and is basically telling him that he's the best cook there is, and John Wayne's wife basically quizzes him on how to make a perfect pie, and he goes about to tell him, you know, your crust is, you know, flour and lard and water, and, you know, you place it in your pan, and then you have eight perfectly picked apples, and then you put your sugar mixture with your cinnamon, and you put your pats of butter on it, and you add your top crust, and then he says, at the end, he says, and he slices it three times to let the seam off, because that's what mother did.
Oh, have you tried this recipe, Steve?
I have not. I am not a pie baker, but I got a kick out of that. Every time I watch that movie, that's my favorite part, because this woman thinks she's going to get one over on him, and he tells her exactly how to make a perfect pie.
Yeah,
and
so
does it in about 45 seconds. So it's a good movie to watch.
Thank you very much. I have not seen that movie, but
I have to check it out.
Yeah, sounds like that's a pretty good pie recipe in 30 seconds. We will check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will be back. We'll continue talking about making the perfect pie. What's your secret? What pie are you baking for Thanksgiving? Or what are you looking forward to eating? Anything, do you have a new Thanksgiving tradition when it comes to pies? Or do you still go for the traditional pumpkin pie or pecan pie? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
Honey pie, you are making me crazy. I'm in love, but I'm lazy. So won't you please come home?
We are talking about baking the perfect pie on this Thanksgiving morning. And we're welcoming your questions for our guest. We're welcoming your trade secrets. We're welcoming your favorite pies. What are you making or what are you looking forward to eating? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Are you trying something new this year or are you perfecting an old favorite? What is your secret for making the perfect pie crust? Do you have a favorite filling flavor? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We have Mandy in DeSoto next. Hi, Mandy.
Hello. I have a recipe for a no-mess pie crust. It's made with, I use grape oil, grape seed oil, but you could use any oil that you prefer. It's 2 cups of flour, 1 teaspoon salt, 1/2 cup of oil, and 1/4 cup of milk.
Wow.
And then you just put that together with a fork until it's in a ball. Then you take most of the ball out and put it between 2 sheets of wax paper, and you roll that. And then you take the top sheet off, and you flip the bottom sheet into the pie pan. It's a nice crust. It does get flaky, and it's easy to piece tears and things, and it's easy to flute the edge. And if there's, it's enough for one smaller or not a deep dish pie crust, but I use a deep dish, and then I use the leavings and add sugar and make a crumble for the top. I also use tapioca for fruit pies instead of flour. It has a nice clear juice. And I also substitute in many recipes up to 1/3 cup per cup of flour of oat flour made with ground up oatmeal.
Wonderful. Wow. So what kind of fillings are you going to have today, Mandy?
I'm going to make apple raisin.
Mm-hmm.
Just traditional, simple, lots of cinnamon and nutmeg and things. Yeah.
That sounds great. Thank you very much. Have you ever heard of these tricks, Kate?
I have. You know, Louise Piper, who's an Iowa pie baker who wins a lot at the Iowa State Fair, she wins with an oil crust a lot like what Mandy just described.
Yeah, that's interesting. But we had a caller who wanted you to repeat your all-butter pie crust. She heard flour, sugar, salt, and butter, but she did not hear water.
There is ice water. Get that ice very cold. The water, excuse me, get the water very cold.
And why is that important to be so cold?
It needs to be cold so that the butter stays cold. So when the trick to flaky pie crust is actually making sure that the butter stays just a little bit separate from the flour. And it does that if it's cold.
Mm-hmm.
So
interesting.
You take like a 2-cup Pyrex measuring cup, fill it with water, put it in the freezer before you even start getting the rest of your ingredients out. You'll be good to go when it's time to put the ice water onto your dough.
It seems to me, and this is just personal, that I would like the taste of butter in my crust more so than oil. Do you have obviously you prefer the butter crust too?
I prefer that too, and there's also, you can mix different types of fat. So I find Crisco also kind of tasteless, but very, very flaky, so you can mix butter in Crisco and get the best of both worlds.
Yes, I've heard that kind of half and half.
Mm-hmm.
What about using tapioca in fruit pies for the filling?
Absolutely. That's a trick that works. And the caller is absolutely right that it does do a nice clear juice. I've kind of given it up because I found that for me it only works about half the time, and I can't tell you why. I need to, you know, conduct a pie study of some sort. Flour and butter works every time, so I just stick to that.
Kate Lebo is our guest. She is the author of Pie School, Lessons in Fruit, Flour, and Butter, also a commonplace book of pie. We have posted her website on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, so you can read more about pie school and her other tricks and advice. And we also will be posting the recipes that she shared with us, including gluten-free pumpkin chiffon pie with almond flour crust. And I'm not sure, Kate, and forgive me, do we also have your apple pie or just the pumpkin pie?
We could get that up there. I believe I sent that in.
Okay.
So yeah, I would love to share that.
Great. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Liz in Viroqua is with us now. Hi, Liz.
Hi. I make a sour cream pumpkin pie that has the French pâté blisé crust, which is what you just described with the butter. And it also has chopped pecans as a bottom layer.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
And I found it in an early American cookbook.
Nice. Do you remember which cookbook it was?
Oh, gosh, I've had it for so many years. I think it's just early American cooking or something.
Fascinating. I love it.
I actually made a copy of the recipe to put in my files because it's so good.
That is amazing. So sour cream pumpkin pie with pecans.
Yeah, and in a year when I get a black walnut harvest out here, I can substitute those.
Sure, yeah, the black walnut is...
It was fabulous.
Wonderful, thank you, and happy Thanksgiving, Liz.
Thank you, and happy Thanksgiving to you.
Yeah, sour cream and pumpkin, that's interesting, because there's a famous pie shop in western Wisconsin. It's called Norsky's Nook in Osseo, and they are well known for, I think it's one of the first pies they made, a sour cream raisin pie.
Oh, yeah, also known as funeral pie.
Why is it called funeral? Is that what you bring to a funeral wake or something?
Well, but it's all, and it's also a treat that's made with ingredients that would be available year-round.
Okay.
So if somebody passes away in January, you can still bring this delicious pie from your pantry, whip it up, get good to go.
I get it. All right, well, that's interesting, because when I first heard sour cream and raisin, I thought, oh, that does not sound that tasty, but it is. It's very good.
Yeah, if you get the right recipe, it's awesome. Though I've had plenty. That's a division I love to judge at the Iowa State Fair, and half are great and half are, you know, a work in progress.
So do you come and judge at the Iowa State Fair every year?
I do, yeah.
That's wonderful. What's one of your favorite pies from that contest?
I'm always really impressed with the crust that happened at the Iowa State Fair. And there were, this year, actually, a mincemeat pie took the grand prize. It was beautiful and delicious and super surprising.
Well, you know, and we did get another vote for for a mincemeat pie on Facebook. Someone's saying that that's one of their favorite pies. We also have Amy in Appleton who emails. It's shoe fly pie at this house.
Oh, yum.
Wet bottom is the best in our Pennsylvania Dutch tradition. Okay, well, I don't know what that means. What do you know what wet bottom shoe fly pie is all about, Kate?
You know, actually, that is beyond my purview. That, you know, I know the funeral pie is also part of Pennsylvania Dutch tradition, but shoe fly is usually made with a lot of sugar. It's very, very simple. But wet bottom, I want somebody to tell me what that is.
All right, someone's got to tell us what wet bottom means. Amy, if you're listening, shoot another email. What do you mean by wet bottom? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Joan emails, we are having apple pie and banana cream pie. The banana cream is my husband's mother's recipe. We have it at every family gathering. Now, that's not a traditional Thanksgiving pie, but does that sound good? Banana cream pie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and... I think that'd be great. I'd like to try coconut cream pie, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, are cream pies a lot harder to make than the, you know, fruit filling type pie?
No, not necessarily. In some ways, they can be easier because they take a crumble or cookie crumb crust better than a fruit pie would, so that takes out the hassle of making any kind of dough. It's just different. It's kind of like making pudding, you know, rather than chopping fruit. Different process.
Here's an interesting idea from Darlene and Viola. Hi, Darlene.
Yes, hi. I've learned to render my own lard, which makes the best pie crust without having any preservatives in the traditional store-bought lard. And I grind my own nutmeg so that you get the fresh flavor of nutmeg. And I also use butternut squash as a substitute for pumpkin because it has a much richer and deeper flavor than the traditional packed pumpkin that you buy in a can in the store, which I think is quite bland.
Oh my goodness, that is something. Oh, you know, I saw the note about substituting butternut squash for the pumpkin, and that does sound good. But how do you like it? Somebody rendering their own lard.
That's awesome and brave.
Yeah, very brave, and grinding your own nutmeg. Thank you, Darlene. Happy Thanksgiving to you. So, as we wrap up, Kate, what is the single best piece of advice you have to give, especially maybe the newbies among us who are, you know, baking their first pie on this Thanksgiving?
Well, I think it's not to get too worried about making the perfect pie. I think the perfect pie is a pie that just tastes good that you made by hand. And people will find that should they have a disaster with their crust, should they not look at it and it not look as perfect as they think it should be, you put it in that oven, the oven will heal all. You'll pull it out, it'll be full of juice, it'll be browned, it'll look like you did that crust on purpose. So don't worry about it. Just make something that you and your family will love. And I guarantee you, they will appreciate it.
Oh, you know, and we have just a minute to go. You just, making it by hand puts that that love into it, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Thank you so much for being with us. Are you going to be able to take a quick nap before continuing your Thanksgiving preparation?
That's the plan. I'll sleep the rest of the night.
Thank you.
Get up at 8, do the crust.
Yeah, thank you very much for being with us. Kate Lebo, award-winning baker and writer, author of Pie School, Lessons in Fruit, Flour, and Butter, and a Commonplace Book of Pie. And again, we will be sharing with you her recipe for gluten-free pumpkin chiffon pie with almond flour crust. And we might have her all butter pie crust and her apple pie recipe as well for you. All right. Well, thanks very much to Marika Suval for producing this program. Thanks to Bill Martins for coming in to be on-air producer and director on this holiday. And thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. Much more to come. Stay with us for this week's edition of On the Campaign Trail coming up next. And then after 8 o'clock, it's our Thanksgiving tradition, the best gift you've ever given or received.
What do I care? Blueberry, apple, cherry, pumpkin, and plum. Call me for dinner, honey. I'll be there.